Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 138 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Vivica Hess. Vivica is an attorney out in San Diego by way of Sweden, interestingly enough, and she is the owner of Hess Connect, which is a full-service legal marketing shop. And we're going to talk a lot about how to integrate the technical aspects of online and, for lack of a better word, internet marketing, you know, your website, LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera, along with the messaging part of being able to differentiate yourself and provide value to your potential clients. So, it's a delightful conversation, I think, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So without any further delay, Vivica Hess. Vivica Hess, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here, coming all the way from, is it sunny San Diego today?
It is fairly sunny. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So the weather in San Diego goes from very sunny to fairly sunny to partly sunny, right?
It's rough.
Yeah.
But yes, that's right.
It's tough. Vivica, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I actually came from a much less sunnier place. I am a Swedish transplant, now living here in San Diego with my husband and daughter, and I grew up in Sweden. I moved over to go to college, not realizing that tuition would be about three times as high as for any out-of-stater. So I decided I'd spend a year in California establishing my residency so that I could continue college. Sure. And I'd skied competitively, decided I was going to teach skiing for a year and establish that residency to continue with school. That turned into 4 years. It was a lot of fun. After 4 years and a great learning experience, I decided, okay, it was time to go back to college here in San Diego and continued thereafter in law school, also here in San Diego. And I spent nearly 8 years with an estate planning law firm here. And I think, you know, where I am today is approximately, was it 2007 or 8, where we all started feeling sort of the economic downturn,
sure,
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And our law firm, which had grown and evolved over 30 years by word of mouth, referrals, started feeling the impact of that downturn. So I suggested to the founding partner that we would should think about, consider establishing some more marketing materials. We had no online presence whatsoever. And he thought it was a great idea and said, take it on. Well, of course, as you know, law school didn't teach us a whole lot about marketing or business development, but you know, I took some time, thought about it, and scaled back the client interactions and took it on. Established the online presence for the law firm, and what I realized was that I was falling in love with an area that had very little to do with law practice and much more so with communications and really the psychology of communications. You know, how do you speak? How do you engage and resonate with people that you haven't even had a chance to meet face to face? I thought that was really intriguing. So about two years after that, I decided that when the founding partner was mentioning closing the firm, it was a good time for me to pull back and gave it some thought, decided I'll open up a marketing agency and do what I'm really intrigued with here, which is sort of focusing on the communications and the content and engagement with people online primarily.
You know, I find
I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but that's how I ended up in this place right now.
I find that the people who make that transition, and there are a few, obviously, who have gone from practicing attorney into more of the marketing aspects of business development for law firms. Some of them come at it from the perspective that they're a techie, and it's the toys and the technology that intrigues them, and how to apply that in a modern law practice. Then others come at it from a communications viewpoint. How do I get my message across, and what are the best tools to voice that message? Do you have a foot in either camp, or a little bit in both?
You know, a little bit in both, I'd say. I mean, there are certain basic tools and systems and strategies that we all have to learn to have any sort of a presence, online. But I'd say that really where I have the most passion, and where I think I offer the most value to my clients, is really positioning the communications in a way that reflects who they are and how they offer their services. So that's sort of where I lean. But I think all of us that are attorneys/entrepreneurs, we have to have a pretty good understanding of the basics, the tech tools, the metrics, analytics, to really measure, what we're putting out there.
Or even implement your vision.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, since you've been doing this for a while now, probably, through the major growth phase of that aspect of legal business development, what are the trends that you're seeing? Where are you seeing people go with this concept?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's really nice and it's refreshing. I'm starting to see, just maybe this last 2 years, I'm seeing more and more attorneys being so much more receptive to how important it is not to look all over a place to your competition, but really focusing on what you have to offer and the way that you're offering it. Because, I mean, we know it's a very competitive environment, the legal industry. So there's really, it boils down to one thing that's going to set you apart. And that's, taking the time, hitting the pause button, finding out who you are. And that might sound a little bit too simplistic, but as attorneys, I mean, we're running around so fast. We're trying to, either you're a solo small practitioner or even a larger law firm as an associate. I mean, we're so busy, we don't find the time to stop and say, how am I different? And if you don't do that, you're going to be sadly, I think, in a very competitive environment. But as soon as you can figure out what you have to offer, the way you offer it, and a little bit of personality, that's what's going to set you apart. And that's where I'm seeing more and more attorneys be so much more receptive now, when they're realizing that that's the only way they're going to obliterate the competition, or what they call the competition.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to see that. I think they're understanding that we do have to slow down and evaluate, what sets you apart.
Well, it's interesting. I think in the beginning, I knew many attorneys who simply were of the opinion that if I build it, they will come, so to speak. If I throw up a website, that's really all I need to do to be online, to have an online presence. And of course, I think the understanding now is very clear, even amongst the general population, that that's not sufficient. You have to go that further step. And ultimately, you get to that question that you just articulated, is how am I different from my competition? And that's a question that I find personally really challenging to answer, because in the end, we're all estate planning attorneys, or we're all criminal defense attorneys, or personal injury attorneys, or family law attorneys. I mean, what we do isn't significantly different from what the next attorney does. So where should we be looking for that concept of differentiation?
Well, let me just give you, I have three examples, and I'm just going to have a little bit of fun with this. So there's going to be a little sting to this, but I stand behind
sure.
it. So,
okay.
One of the things is, I mean, one of the objections I get from attorneys when they say, well, I don't have time to to do the homework, set this up front and hit the pause button and figure this out. And, you know, I'm just too busy. And I tell them, well, you're going to be in the competition then, and you're going to commoditize your services. And one of the first places, obviously, that somebody's going to look you up, if, for example, you've been building your business based on referrals, word of mouth, which is something I hear often, don't for a moment think that your prospective client, whether they were referred to you or word of mouth, isn't also going to look you up online. And yep. The first place they're going to go when they look you up online will probably be your website.
Right.
So let's have some fun with this website. You go to the website and it'll look like this. I'm not making this up. This is almost what always happens here. And sorry about the sting, but here we go. What it will say is, we'll work hard for you.
Right.
Now your client's thought bubble is, yeah, I sure hope so. Does mm-hmm. it even need to be expressed? Another one that I see often is, it's a full service intellectual property firm. And your client thought bubble is, gee, I was really looking to pay a full price for partial service. Okay. And then the best one I hear is, our attorneys, firm partners have received virtually every accolade in the business. And the client thought bubble is, well, that's great. But tell me what really sets you apart from other attorneys and law firms. I mean, you all seem to have amassed these recognitions by your peers and you do a stellar job. But your client's thinking, what about me? I mean, how will these accolades directly benefit me as your client? Now, you're all accomplished. Now, give me something that tells me who you are so I can connect with you as a human being. Give me something that resonates, that I can identify with, so I get to know you, so I can trust you to meet my specific needs or solve my problem. Then we'll talk. So these are some of the, these are some of the things I see on websites. And after a while, they all sort of start looking pretty much the same. So it doesn't say a whole lot.
And they all look the same.
They do.
You can pick an attorney website out. And even in the ones that actually use a service that builds them on their behalf, you can see who's using what service because they look alike from
exactly.
attorney to attorney.
Yeah. So, then one of the reasons that I've really been focusing these last 2 years on using LinkedIn primarily as a channel to work with my clients and to sort of position attorneys to position them as uniquely as possible and really give some flavor, some personality is, that's probably the second place that somebody will go to check you out after a website. Once they start looking at their estate planning websites and they realize that there's really nothing that sets it apart, they'll go to your link and they'll look you up there. And so that's really, I think, one of the best opportunities you have to show who you are and what sets you apart. And sure, talk about your accomplishments, your accolades and recognition, but flip it so that anytime you do, it's very, very client-driven, benefits-driven. And put that spotlight on the client. And I kind of joke, and it's been said before, but I sort of put it in Star Wars terms. It's not about you. It's all about your client. That's the hero. So if you're the guide, the counselor, the Obi-Wan Kenobi, your client is Luke Skywalker. It should be all about them. So anything you've accomplished or any accolade really should be essentially a spotlight on your client. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I see in, for example, LinkedIn profiles. I see a lot of sort of talking about everything you've accomplished, the multimillion-dollar settlements and all this. And it's without having that sort of that sophistication of turning it as a benefit to your clients so that they really feel the value and understand who you are in all of it too.
And specifically how they can benefit from that relationship. One of the things I think that I've seen a trend in attorneys being able to understand this process is, as I said, in the beginning, we started off with the, if you build it, they will come kind of mentality. All I have to do is put up a website. Then people started getting more sophisticated about their website and started using professionals to enhance those websites, make them more attractive, use better themes and more, special aspects and tools to make those websites more interactive and appealing to the viewer. In the last few years, without question, there's a trend towards integrating social media into this process. And for the longest time, attorneys shied away from social media in almost all aspects. And I think you are one of the, you know, one of the leaders who have been out there right from the beginning saying, really, you need to focus more on the social media integration with your marketing approach. So talk about that for a second. How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that social media is where you have the most flexibility. It's where, you know, whether you work for yourself in a small practice or in a large law firm, this is where you have an opportunity to stand out, to communicate what's really what sets you apart, and you can add your personality to it. You know, if you're looking at a website, I mean, there are certain constrictions, especially in the larger law firms, you know, what you can say and do. There are policies in place, or hopefully there are policies in place. But even for the small practitioner, I think, you know, as far as inserting the content and any updates, you know, if you're adding on to your specialties or pivoting somehow, I mean, you're always sort of depending on somebody else, a developer, a designer, or, you know, a user experience person to do those updates. So you don't have the same maneuverability. And I think just from a practical standpoint that social media, for example, LinkedIn, at any time you can go in there and do any updates you need to, or posts or videos, which are really, really catching on now as far as giving sort of personality and some flavor to who you are. And I think, you know, LinkedIn has evolved so much. Again, I'm focusing on LinkedIn. I just see it growing so quickly right now, both for B2B and B2C, business to business, business to client, in both areas. Huge growth in LinkedIn since Microsoft took over a few years ago. I mean, this is where you can essentially use LinkedIn as your client relations management tool nowadays. You know, some attorneys I've spoken with still consider LinkedIn to be a resume portal, or, you know, looking to hire.
Yeah.
And it is so much more than that now. So you can actually stay within LinkedIn. And I've done that with clients where we have gotten so many highly qualified leads staying within LinkedIn. Now, integrating it with your website is key, because, I mean, people will still visit your website if that's the first point they go to. Yeah, I just think it's maneuverable and it's flexible, and you can really sort of voice, you know, create a voice there.
Yeah, and I think that's important, and it's an element that's often overlooked, is that your personality and your value proposition in that respect, it can be articulated easily and frequently and robustly on platforms like LinkedIn or a business page on Facebook.
Sure.
Whereas it's a little more cumbersome to do on your website, but at the same time, there has to be some cognizance between the two platforms. Your website can't portray one message or one viewpoint, and your LinkedIn presence something entirely different. They have to work
absolutely
together.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there has to be a nice streamlined experience for anybody, and that's often when I connect or somebody reaches out to me on LinkedIn, one of the first things I'll do is you know, especially if they don't have any optimization on their LinkedIn profile, I'm sort of eager to find out more about them and you know, their areas of specialty, and there's very little on their LinkedIn profile. I'll go to their website through the contact info, and there'll be a dissonance.
Yeah.
You know, the messaging, and if there are any visuals, there's a disconnect. And it might not sound like much, but I mean, that's part of the overall experience for somebody who's checking you out versus, you know, a huge competitive industry. There has to be a good experience there. And I think that, you know, as we were talking about before, that the tech and the tools are necessary, but if the messaging isn't there, if it's not streamlined across platforms and giving sort of a cohesive experience, just think about what this prospective client impression that you may be giving. If there's a dissonance in the messaging online, you know, have you spent enough time? Will you have enough time to take care of me, your client? You know, in a unified, cohesive way, so that I feel that I have confidence and trust in your services. I mean, that could be a message that's coming out that we don't think about if there's that disconnect.
Yeah, and the consumer, the potential client these days, are savvy enough, because they're as you said, they're reviewing you all the time or reviewing businesses. I mean, let's face it, when somebody suggests a restaurant, don't we all look that restaurant up to make sure that someplace that we want to go to? And the same is true, you know, for an attorney. If you get a referral, that referral for sure is going to be doing their homework either before or after they make the initial consultation with you. And if there is a disconnect between those platforms or the message isn't clear, it raises concern in the client's mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do feel really strongly about that. And I think I've seen, you know, when we do sort of before and afters on any online messaging or presence, and there's a very big difference, and it's a quantifiable difference, and you can see the metrics really ramping up. So there's a lot of meaning behind it, but I feel so strongly about it, I guess. And one of the reasons I continue to focus on building my small agency was, you know, we've all spent so much time, sweat, grind, you know, establishing a professional reputation offline. I mean, why wouldn't you want this reflected online?
Consistently.
I mean, on LinkedIn, where you will, you know, most likely be checked out before contacted. That's really important.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur.
The trend, I think, and we keep coming back to trends, the trend, I think, with companies like yours now is recognition of that broad, the broad approach to marketing, because there are so many platforms, so many plates you have to be spinning at the same time, that companies have to be able to do, such as yours, have to be able to address all of them, do they not? It's no longer, I don't think, it's no longer sufficient to say, well, we're just a web development outfit, or we're just a LinkedIn assistant or consultant. You really have to be able to do it all.
I agree, and I disagree to some, with all due respect, but I agree in that we have to look at this holistically, right? It's back to trying to keep everything streamlined, whether it's they're visiting your website mm-hmm. or your LinkedIn profile or a Facebook page. I mean, they all have to, provide that streamlined experience. On the other hand, another one of the objections I hear from attorneys often is, I just don't have time to do it all, or, all these online channels, what do I focus on? And part of that answer obviously is, it depends on what area, it depends, right? It depends on what area of law that, you're practicing too, will dictate to some extent. So you don't want to overwhelm yourself and sort of be paralyzed by all the options out there. So, pick 2 to 3. The website is sort of a given, right?
But
from there, as far as social media, I'd say, you certainly don't need Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. I mean, focus 1 to 2, at maximum, I'd say, on social media, and just really get good at using those. So it's a fine line,
I think I'll just share with you, my strategy and see how that dovetails with your viewpoint. I mean, I'm using LinkedIn mostly these days, and I have to admit, I've been terrible at using LinkedIn for a long time. And through talking with folks like yourself, I've been refocused on improving that process. But I've been using LinkedIn mostly for my referral sources and centers of influence, and kind of building that community within that space, and using Facebook professional page or business page for the firm to do more direct contacts with my estate planning clients. Okay. And that's a way that I've split the responsibility up. But I just got through, again, I'm one of those shiny object type techies. I just got through listening to a whole presentation on just how Instagram is killing it these days. I'm like, oh dear me. Is that another plate I have to start spinning?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've seen several law firms use Instagram really, really well. And the fact of the matter is, we're bombarded with information, with content, with visuals. And it seems like the shorter the message is and the more visual it can be, the quicker you get your point across. But I mean, you have to be careful, picking the visuals, have a plan, have a strategy before you leverage that into a system, right? So you pick your platforms. I'll tell you, surprisingly, I've seen a lot of Canadian law firms use Instagram really well. And much of it has to do with images that are behind the scenes. People love to see that. And again, that goes back to showing some personality. It's not just a firm. It's not just a law practice and an attorney. It's some personality. It's some humanity behind it. And that is, time and time again, what I see resonating the most with people, with individuals that are looking to your services. So I think in Instagram, that's a short, sweet visual that you can offer up as far as giving a little bit more personality and flavor that will ultimately set you apart.
But you made the point earlier, and I didn't pick up on it at the time, but you made the point earlier about knowing where your audience is and what they are using. So if the audience that you're seeking to attract is primarily on Instagram, so if you're looking for those young millennials, who as potential clients, then you may have to think about something like Instagram.
Exactly. I mean, you have to adapt. You're always looking to your audience. Who is your audience? Where are they? Where are their watering holes? And, does certain demographics, demographics go in different directions. I mean, some will be hanging out on LinkedIn. And like you said, the millennials, the younger generations, but I mean, we're even seeing that change a little bit on Instagram. So you do have to adapt and you have to really listen and understand. I don't know are you familiar with Seth Godin?
Yes, very much so.
So he's just publishing a book now. He just came out with a book called This is Marketing. And I'm starting to look into it. And I think he really nailed it. He said, you know, the whole gist, very simplistically, of this book is that you have to see in order to be seen. So you really have to understand who your audience is, what their experience is, what are their needs, their desires, and sort of scratch beyond that a little bit. And once you understand that, then you also, everything aligns from there. Your messaging, your content, your visuals, what platform do you focus on? So it's really important to listen before you go out on your website, you know, shouting out your accolades. Make sure you know who you're speaking to.
Well, let's go back to a point again that you raised earlier about the analytics of understanding what you're doing and how successful it is performing. Marketing is sometimes a difficult thing to measure, and yet other ways is easy.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking, you know, just at the website, and you're obviously probably primarily turning to Google Analytics. I mean, that's easy to quantify. You know, how many visitors? How long are they on your page? You know, are there any hotspots? Are there certain areas that are attracting them? And then you can kind of pivot that into additional website traffic or your social media. But I mean, that's the one tool I use at least for tracking. Now, I'll say within both Facebook and LinkedIn, they have some pretty in-depth analytics there as well. And you can certainly see, which I do, when I've worked with a client and we really optimize and SEO optimize, but also inject all that personality and sort of flavor to their profile. I mean, you see a huge jump in the analytics. That's pretty easy to track.
Yeah.
You'll see many more people attracted to the profile, curious about the profile because they're standing out. You know, something sets them apart. And so those are definitely quantifiable metrics that we can look at just within a week to 2 weeks after working on their profile. And then we haven't even started on the messaging and the content and sort of the schedule, the editorial calendar, if you will.
Yeah, that was going to be the point I wanted to get to here briefly about developing the message. That's really, you know, you can have all the technical pieces tied together and addressed properly, but the content, the messaging, the theme, that all has to be consistent and developed. And really, to me, that's the opportunity that you have to set yourself apart, to make yourself unique.
Yeah, and you want it to be, you know, well thought out. So again, and then sort of the way I work with clients is first, you know, we work on the strategy. We prepare, we map it out. And yeah, there's some time spent there and there's some homework that needs to be done. But once you have that set up and you've really captured, you know, the essence of who you are and what you offer, how you offer it, I mean, that work is done. And you can leverage that into a system. And then that's where we really start implementing the tech and the tools and rolling it out, you know, to some extent automated, right? Mm-hmm. And I usually say about automation, it's you got to be careful with that. I'm you know, really cautious when I talk to my clients about this. I mean, you want to automate the technical reoccurring aspects of your business, but you really want to personalize the essential parts, like the messaging, once a contact has been established. So it's really important to not completely over automate, you know, your entire system.
Right.
But there's a lot of it that you can. So that's, you know, the time spent setting it up is well worth it.
Yeah. Sure. What do you use any tools or systems to try and understand what the potential client is looking for? I'm thinking specifically like keyword analysis or search trends and that kind of thing. Do you use any tools in that regard, or is it more kind of anecdotal?
No, I mean, I use several tools. You know, one of the things I really like about LinkedIn, and it is a premium level. I mean, I'll admit that it's the Sales Navigator. Mm-hmm. But with that tool within LinkedIn, at least, I can do so many granular, extremely granular searches, either for a business or an individual. And, you know, if it's a business, keep in mind that business consists of individuals, right? So we still need to reach out to a human being. And I can very quickly find out through Sales Navigator and third-party tools connected to that, exactly how broad our audience is. And I can just narrow down and kind of niche down to the specific audience. And when I work with somebody, you know, if it's an attorney who is catering to 6 or 7 or 8 different areas of law, that's just not going to work. So I do tend to work with ones that are a little bit more focused. And, you know, I usually say 1 to 2 audiences, let's focus on that. But the more you niche down, the more relevant our messaging can get. And the more it's going to resonate with your audience, the more likely that they will become a very qualified client, you know, a quality client.
What are the roadblocks that people have to overcome in order to take advantage of something like that, of your services? What do they have to get past?
Well, it's time, really. Yeah. I mean, one of the objections I get again is the time. Yeah. It takes much time. And I said, well, what's the cost of not doing this? I mean, you're going to continue losing time because you're trying, if you're a small business, small practice especially, you're going to be losing time trying to do the marketing, which, you know, there usually is a pretty good lack of know-how and tech know-how. And you're losing out on those billable hours. So that, I mean, that's the cost. So can you really afford not to take some time? You know, the other objection I get is the roadblock is, well, I've built my business on word of mouth or referrals or referral partners. And my response to that is always great. But nowadays, you know, again, don't think for a moment they're not also checking. They are savvy. Prospective clients, and they're looking you up online, and they're going to look you up on LinkedIn, and there's going to be a complete disconnect if they, you know, they were referred to you by somebody they trust, but yet they look at your profile, and you know, you're lucky if there's a face shot there. And there's really nothing that sets you apart, and you have the default title of associate attorney, managing partner, founding partner. I mean, that's a default. It doesn't show much care or concern for your prospective client or respect for them.
It doesn't resonate with them, and it doesn't allow them to differentiate you in one way or the other. You all look the same.
Right.
And the key point here also to remember is 9 out of 10 potential clients are looking you up on their phone.
On the fly. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right away.
So, well, Vivica, this has been tremendous. I mean, there's a whole rash of things that we could spend time chatting about. Can I invite you to come back again in the future?
I would love to.
I would love to talk a little more about the messaging, because I don't know that we got far enough in how you develop the message. And I think that's a critical aspect of what you do. And I'd like to spend a little more time exploring that. Tell our audience, what's the best way that they could go about reaching out to you if they want to follow up on anything that you've covered today?
Sure. They can head over to my website, Hess Connect. That's HessConnect.com, and find a little bit more about how my services and background might provide value if you're looking to grow your practice, or even if you're looking to up-level the qualification or quality of your clients. And another way, of course, is I'd love to hear from anyone individually by connecting on LinkedIn, and that's linkedin.com/ Vivica Hess, VivecaHess. Anybody reaches out to me on LinkedIn, I'd be happy to offer them I have a short e-guide that talks about setting yourself up on LinkedIn. It's called Getting Lawyers LinkedIn Liked and Leveraged in 5 Super Easy Actionable Steps.
Oh, I love that.
Happy to share that.
Okay, and can we plug your podcast a little bit here too?
Sure. It's called the Social Lawyer Show.
Yeah. I just sat through and listened to a whole bunch of episodes over the last couple of days, and I really enjoy it.
So I appreciate that.
Congratulations on your podcast. Keep it up, and let's get together again soon.
Sounds great, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Thanks ever so much, Vivica, for being on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur, Ruby Receptionists. They, along with our old friends at Spotlight Branding, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, are the ones that make this podcast possible, and for them, I am very grateful. So please be sure to visit their websites. You can find the locations in the show notes for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Or you can go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to the resources page, and there you can find a way to get to each of their websites. So please visit their websites, sign on as clients. I'm a client now of all three, and I think you'll be happy you did so. So that's Ruby Receptionist, Spotlight Branding, and Market Circle, the makers of Daylight.